When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the John Cordray Podcast Show number 2. The John Cordray Show, where emotionally healthy living is a way of life. John is a licensed therapist and a national certified counselor, and he will help you learn to feel better so you can live better. Do you want to know how to improve your life? Get into the green zone. Do you get angry a lot? Do people tell you you have an anger problem, but maybe you don't want to go to some class or take time to see a therapist? Then my anger management video course may be just what you need. I designed my anger management video course to walk you step by step to learn how to control your anger. It's exactly what I teach my clients who come to see me in my office, but for a fraction of the cost. Find out more at keepcalmacademy.com. That's keepcalmacademy.com. Or you can visit my website at johncordray.com. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to my show. My name is John Cordray, and you are in the green zone. All right, well, today is my second podcast, and I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about how I got started as a therapist and kind of the backstory. I have people all the time asking me how I got started, and so I thought it would be a lot of fun to use this time to talk about kind of my background, because I really do encourage people who I work with and the clients to really talk about or to create a timeline of their life. We all have a story to tell. And a very interesting story. So let's do a timeline. And so if I'm going to tell other people to make a timeline, then I need to make a timeline. So that's what I'm doing today. So today's podcast is my timeline on how I became a therapist. And actually, I'm very excited to talk about it because it is quite the journey. It didn't happen overnight. In fact, I didn't start out wanting to be a counselor. And I think actually probably if you were to talk to most therapists when they were a teenager, they probably, in fact, one of the last things they would say if you were to ask them what they would want to do when they grow up would be to say a therapist. And I was one of those. Never really knew anything about a counselor, actually, when I was a teenager. And if you heard my first podcast, I talked about my passion in my later years of high school and into college. I really wanted to be rich and famous. I wanted to follow in David Letterman's footsteps. I went to his alma mater, to Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana, graduated with radio and TV production. I had my hopes and dreams. I even volunteered as a radio DJ at the college university. So when my dream was to graduate and then become rich and famous, but that didn't happen, rich or famous. And that's okay, because I'm so glad. I can't imagine doing anything else than what I'm doing now is helping people. So that's my story in a nutshell. But I want to go back. I want to go take you back before I graduated from high school, And I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but it was the summer of 1987. I was a junior in high school. And at the time, I was very involved in my youth group at my church. And my pastor, probably I would say, was my first mentor. I really looked up to him. He was a great guy. He was a pastor of a large church, but yet he took the time to help out at the youth group. And so he grew up as an orphan and in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And this particular summer, he decided to take the youth group to Hershey, Pennsylvania, and then wrap around and go up to Washington, D.C., and tour the White House. And so that's what we did. And I loved it. Hershey, I'd never been there before. And when we arrived, as you pull up to, if you've ever been to Hershey, Pennsylvania, that's where they make Hershey chocolate bars, it smells like chocolate. In some cities, you can smell an odor. But in Hershey, Pennsylvania, it smells like chocolate, and you'll see little chocolate kisses on the light fixtures. I think they're still there. But I remember pulling into Hershey, Pennsylvania, and just kind of looking around, and it really felt like I was in Willy Wonka. It was really pretty cool. As a teenager, I thought it was pretty cool as well. But that really wasn't the only reason why we were at Hershey, although we did tour the factory and saw how all the chocolate was made. But the highlight, the point that really made probably the first impact on my life as a counselor, although I was never thinking about it at the time, was during this visit to this orphanage. And it was called the Milton Hershey School for Orphan Boys in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And that's where my pastor grew up. And we went, and I'd never been to an orphanage. And I was just struck to see the boys there. And I really wanted to play with them. I put them on my shoulder and walk with them, laugh with them, play catch with them. And I got to really get to know them. And I remember very, very distinctly that one of the other chaperones that was there, that went with us in our group, came up to me and said that I would make a great counselor someday. And that shocked me. You know, here I was a teenager. I was probably, 17 at the time, and never even considered, wasn't even a thought in my mind to be a therapist. And here was a chaperone walking up to me and said, "I think you're going to be a great counselor someday." And it blew me away. I don't know to this day, I don't know why the chaperone told me this. Maybe it was how I played with the kids, or maybe the fact that I took time to sit down and listen to the kids tell me their stories. But I'm not really sure why the chaperone said that to me, but it did make an impact. It made a big impact. And all those the years later, I actually became that counselor. So that was the first time part of my timeline is 1987. Fast forward a little bit, graduate high school. Again, at this time, I wanted to be rich and famous, went to college. And then in 1991, so this other time, other year on my timeline, 1991, I got involved in a church, a very little church, to be a youth director. And so I really had this desire to help kids. You know, that was always there. So I really started to volunteer. Actually, wasn't volunteering here at this church. I was actually paid. I got paid to come on once for about an hour on a Sunday, and that was it, to have youth group and to have these kids, these teenagers come. And I remember very specifically there were exactly 13 kids, and all 13 kids came just about every day or every Sunday. And there were 12 girls and one boy. And some of the, probably most of the girls were related, that were sisters or something, and this one boy. It was quite the time. Really loved it. Loved being able to teach the kids, and they seemed to be receptive of that. I was brand new to youth ministry, didn't know what I was doing. But as you can imagine, this one boy, his name was Phil. Phil, if you're listening to this, hey, what's up? But Phil was more open to spending more time with me than the other girls, and that kind of worked out that way. And so I just met with Phil over the years, and I was at probably at that church as a youth director for about 3 years. And Phil then, when he graduated from high school, he went on to be studied in a pastorate. And I thought that was pretty cool. So that was probably the first time I really felt like I made an impact on somebody else. So that was in 1991, my first youth director job. Volunteered in various youth ministry throughout my college days. Loved it. Still thinking, though, that I was going to be rich and famous. I would help kids on the side, but my main job was going to be either in radio or TV. And then in 1994, so again, fast forward a little bit on my timeline, big year for me. I graduated from college. A year before, I met my future wife. We got married in 1994. In fact, about 2 weeks after we graduated from college, we got married. And then I became the full-time city director for a ministry at the time was called Student Venture. It was a high school ministry of Campus Crusade. I think it's called a different name now. But I became the city director for Student Venture. And that was really an awesome privilege as well. I was in charge of groups that would go around to different schools and middle school and high schools and start little Bible clubs after school. And I was in charge of the board of directors. I was in charge of the groups. And I was in charge of raising money. But it was a pretty amazing time for me. But again, I had to, probably the hardest thing was to raise support. Just like missionaries do, I had to go around and spend a lot of my time talking to people about the ministry and why they should support me financially. And that was a very humbling experience, very, very neat experience, but at times very humbling, and it was scary at times, making cold calls to people I didn't know and talking to them on the phone and then asking to meet with them and then asking for money. That was tough. But I had a vision, I had a purpose, and that was I really wanted to minister to as many youth as I could, and this was the best way that I knew how, was to be the director of this ministry in the city that I was at. We'll be back after a quick break.
Hi, this is Ross, the host of Smells Like Humans. Each week, we talk about the curious things that people do. This show is for you when you're in the mood for unscripted, lighthearted conversation, personal stories, and just a smattering of psychology and information you can use. I promise we will make your day pass a little faster and put a smile on your face. Sometimes silly, sometimes serious, but always fun. Please join us, because no matter who you are, we all smell like human. Please follow the link in the show notes.
Fast forward some more on the timeline, 1999. So I was at the director for about 5 years. 1999, I took my first full-time youth director job. So in 91, I had my first youth directing job, but it was very part-time, got paid once a week on Sundays. But this was my very first time working in a church full-time as a youth director. And so this upped the ante a little bit. I had about 80 or so teenagers coming. Great time. really ministered to and got to know the youth and their families. One of the things that really struck me during this time, because I was full time, I could spend more time with the kids, and I was more accessible. And so I have kids coming over to my house. We would call. We would go out for a Coke or just talk after youth group or whatnot. But a lot of kids during this time told me their stories. I sat down, listened, and even though they would come, a lot of them from very good homes, they still struggled. And as they shared more and more of their struggles with me, I realized I was not equipped. I didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. And so I just listened. I shared, and I was built a relationship with them, but I really didn't know what else to do. And so after about 3 years, I really decided that I wanted to learn more. I wanted to be equipped. And so in 2002, my family, at the time I was married and had two children, very young children, my wife Julie and my daughter Anna, and then my son Noah, we all moved to St. Louis in 2002. We moved from a little town in the Midwest in Muncie, Indiana. We moved from there to a bigger town in the Midwest, to St. Louis. And even though St. Louis is not as big as Chicago or New York or LA, it was, to us, huge. It was a huge transition. And so we moved to the seminary, and we actually got to live right on campus. And in fact, my kids to this day talk about their most fondest memories as growing up is on the campus at the seminary. So I'm going to seminary, and probably one of the hardest times of my life, both emotionally as well as intellectually. I had this first class of seminary was beginning Greek. Up to this point, I didn't even have Spanish, no language at all in high school or college. So this is a very first experience. I really wondered why we moved there after that day. But we stayed. It was not easy. We made it. And then after a few years in the seminary, I realized that I wasn't quite getting the training that I was looking for. Yes, I was getting theological training, but not the training that I really wanted to learn to help other people who are struggling. And so I made a little shift. I left seminary, stayed in St. Louis, went to another university, and I got my master's in counseling, professional counseling. This was my niche. This was it. So I didn't know what I was, I wanted to help people, but didn't know where to go. Thought it was seminary, wasn't seminary. And then I realized that my niche was to be a therapist. That's what I wanted to do. So I went to night class and got my master's, worked full-time during the day, and then went to class in the evening, got home late at night, got up the next day, and went back to work full-time, and studied. And I know a lot of my listeners know exactly what that's like. You do what you need to do to get your degree. And that's what I did. I went to and got my master's in counseling, and then another major milestone in 2005, I graduated, got my degree, and I began to do counseling. So my first year of counseling was in 2005. 2 years later, 2007 was when I first got my actual license. That's the golden grail of counseling, is to get the license, because that allows you to be more marketable, but also you can do counseling on your own. Start your private practice. It just frees you up. You can counsel anywhere within the state. And for me, it was I'm licensed in Missouri. So I'm able to do counseling anywhere in the state of Missouri, including online counseling, which I have that ability. So if you're listening to this and you live in Missouri, but you don't live very close to St. Louis, go to my website at johncordray.com, and you'll find a link where you can sign up for online counseling, which is either video or I can do chat as well, or even phone. So, and it's all HIPAA compliant, so it's all safe. So I got my license in 2007, very excited, and I was really looking forward to starting my career, finally. So all the way back into 1989, when I was a junior in high school, thought I was going to become rich and famous in college, got involved in youth ministry, went to seminary, and then in 2007, finally got my license to start practicing on my own as a therapist. So that's kind of my timeline. Started my own private practice on my own was in 2009. And very excited to be able to do that. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew that at the time I wanted to be in my own practice. And there is so many awesome things about being in private practice, but there's also some hard things about it. And I will be talking more about that later for those of you who are interested in perhaps starting a private practice, whether it's counseling or chiropractic or insurance or a doctor or a dentist. It's kind of all the same things as far as all the steps to become to get your private practice going. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But I'll probably do a podcast about that sometime. So in 2009, I started private practice. It was a lot tougher, a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And then I thought, you know what? I don't think I can do this. So in 2010, I joined a Christian counseling center in St. Louis. So I was a part of other like-minded colleagues. It was great. I enjoyed it. There's pros and cons to that as well. But then later on, the counseling center closed. And then that forced me to go back in 2011 to kind of regroup, if you will, and relaunch my private practice in 2011. And I've been doing it since. Love it. I've learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes. But more important, the most important thing to me, as I look back on my timeline as a counselor, I'm just humbled at how many or how often I was able to help people. I'm currently in my practice right now. I see clients every week. They come to me in my office in St. Louis, and I am just humbled every single time that people would come bear their soul, quite literally. People who tell me things that they would never tell anybody, and they would trust me and to listen, and so that is very, very humbling that I can help them go through their struggles. And I really look at myself as more of a coach than a advice person. I'm not a Dr. Phil, but I think a good therapist is somebody who's going to listen to their clients, offer some practical steps that they can work on their own, not tell them what they should or shouldn't do. You know, my theory is, that saying that you can take I don't know how it goes. You can take a horse to, you can water a horse, or you can show them where the watering hole is and they can get their own drink when they need it. That's kind of my philosophy, if you will, with counseling. I want to help people, give them the tools that they need to work on their own issues, not come to me and ask me what they need to do. I'm not going to tell them you should do this or you shouldn't do this. But I will give you the tools. I'll give you your options, and I want you to start developing your own, you know, your own plan of getting better. So that's kind of my timeline, and I am just pumped. I am so excited to be able to be on this podcast. I said earlier, this is my second one. I'm still learning how to do this, even though I have a degree in radio and TV. This is a whole new world. Everything's completely different now, all these years later. But I love it. It's great. And my hope is that I will eventually find some people who are interested in being interviewed. I want to interview other therapists, what their specific specialty is. I like to talk to maybe doctors, perhaps chiropractors and lawyers, anyone that could be helpful helping people get into that green zone. So the green zone, if you listen to my first podcast, I talk about the different, what I call cognitive zones, the red zone, the blue zone, and the green zone. The red zone is that anger and hostility, the stress is that red zone. The blue zone is kind of the anxiety, depression, fear. And then the green zone is the happiness, peacefulness. It's, the calm feeling. So my goal is to get people to be in the green zone. That's why this show is called In the Green Zone. So people that I bring on to the show, I want them to kind of teach you some different ways of getting into the green zone. So it could be about depression or anxiety. It could be about what you eat. Certain foods can make you happy or not happy. It could be exercising. It could be learning what to do legally if you're going through a divorce or some other legal thing. Everything that we do involves being in the green zone or one of the three zones, red or blue or green. But my goal is to get you into the green. That's it for today. Thanks so much for listening to my show, and I hope you'll come back. Now you know kind of how I got involved, my timeline as a counselor, as a therapist, and you know, just thinking back, it's just been an amazing journey. And I know my journey is not over. I mean, who knows what next week, next year, 5 years from now is going to hold. I mean, quite literally, I had no idea this time last year that I would be doing a podcast show or that I would have my own online website. So it's been a ride. I'm really excited about it. And I want to help as many people as I can. So hopefully, if you're listening to this, I hope you'll get some inspiration, that you'll get some help, that you'll be encouraged to live in the green zone. So that's what I want for you. That's my desire. And if you want, I would love to have you follow me on Twitter or subscribe to my show. Please go to my website to check out more. I also post different articles. I've been on the Huffington Post a couple of times and on radio, local radio, and TV. So I my goal is to help as many people as I can. So I appreciate you, and I want to encourage you to keep moving forward and live life. Life is worth living. And I know at times it could be hard, especially if you're in the red zone or the blue zone. Life can be very, very difficult. But I want to encourage you, it is possible to get back into the green zone, and that's what I want. So, it's time for me to sign off. Thank you. Again, I appreciate you, and we'll catch you later. Bye-bye. You have been listening to the John Cordray Podcast Show. Until next time, stay in the green zone. Do you get angry a lot? Do people tell you you have an anger problem, but maybe you don't want to go to some class or take time to see a therapist? Then my anger management video course may be just what you need. I designed my anger management video course to walk you step by step to learn how to control your anger. It's exactly what I teach my clients who come to see me in my office, but for a fraction of the cost. Find out more at keepcalmacademy.com. That's keepcalmacademy.com, or you can visit my website at johncordray.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.